In my sermon on December the 10th, I shared with you that Cheryl often loves to tease me because I have a hard time remembering the words, the correct words in some of the hymns and some of the great Christmas carols. I know the tunes. I can remember the tunes, but sometimes I get a little jumbled up with the words. On Christmas Eve, in my sermon that evening, I shared with you that children love to sing Christmas carols and the Christmas songs, but sometimes they get a little bit mixed up in their lyrics as well, and sometimes they make up their own lyrics. And I shared some that were humorous and cute. Well, last week, our daughter Callie sent us a video of our granddaughter, Riley. And sure enough, she is singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And though she gets it a little confused and a little bit mixed up, it is the perfect example for the topic that I want to address this morning. Watch this.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, we'd even say it glows. And all of the other reindeer loved him, and how shot it with glee. They never let poor Rudolph to any reindeer games. And one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, wish you know so bright, won't you got my sleigh tonight? Now the reindeer loved him, how shy with glee. They never let poor Rudolph join any reindeer games. Yay!
Riley's video is a perfect example of what we all know as the Christmas spirit. She is singing in a very simple way. She is full of joy. She's full of enthusiasm. She's happy, and it makes us happy to watch her sing. That's what the Christmas spirit is all about. Now, others have defined the Christmas spirit in the following ways. It's what's in your heart. It feels warm and glowy. You can't buy it, and you can't get it from anyone else. It's a deep-seated joy in knowing that the story of the Christ child is gloriously true. It's love and forgiveness, peace and harmony, kindness and gentleness, joy and laughter, all wrapped up together as God's special gift to us. The Christmas spirit is kindness and generosity and peace and goodwill, the things we all long for all during the year. The Christmas spirit is what the shepherds and the angels and the wise men and the other gospel characters experienced after the birth of Christ. Unfortunately, we often lose the Christmas spirit soon after Christmas Day. And we need to go back and revisit the biblical story in order to regain it again. Our scripture lesson for this morning is the final part of the Christmas story. It gives us a hint as to how we can maintain the Christmas spirit all year long. Now, the setting for our scripture story takes us from the stable of Bethlehem over to the temple in Jerusalem. And it's there where Joseph and Mary took Jesus to be consecrated and presented at the temple. And while they were there, they met two old characters by the name of Simeon and Anna. Let us bow for a moment of prayer. Oh God, speak to us according to our spiritual needs and help us to know how we can keep the Christmas spirit alive in our hearts all year long. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Now Luke tells us that Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day, And then he spent a 33-day period in what's called purification. And then he was taken to the temple to be consecrated, to be dedicated to the Lord. And that's when Joseph and Mary ended up bumping into Simeon and Anna. Now, the law of Moses required that this needed to be done, and it's listed in Leviticus chapter 12. Luke tells us that when they got there, Joseph and Mary offered a sacrifice according to the law of Moses, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, generally, people would sacrifice a lamb, but those who could not afford a lamb were allowed to use a less expensive pigeon or a dove, and that's what Mary and Joseph did. Now, Luke wants to make it clear to his readers that Mary and Joseph were poor. He wanted people to understand how astonishing it was for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to enter into our world so powerless, so simple, and so poor. It's really an amazing thing, because people expected some grand appearance, and yet Jesus came in a very humble and simple way. Many times people of lower classes in that day and age were not able to climb up to higher classes. If they were born in a lower class, they usually stayed in that lower class all of their lives. It's exactly the same thing that Chandan, the missionary from India, told us when he spoke on December the 3rd. He said that the people of India, when they're born into a caste system, they end up staying in that particular caste and they never really rise to a higher level. Now, I'm sure that most of you have seen the old comedy sitcom called Frasier. How many of you like to watch Frasier? It's a funny sitcom. Well, Frasier, of course, the star is Kelsey Grammer. He plays a character by the name of Dr. Frasier Crane. He's a very well-to-do psychiatrist. And in one of the episodes, it's a Christmas episode. And Frasier is at a very expensive restaurant. He's having a meal. He ends up having this conversation with a homeless man. And then at the end of the meal, the waiter brings the bill, and Frasier reaches in his pocket to pull out his wallet. He can't find it. He looks in all of his pockets. He can't find his wallet. He doesn't have a credit card, doesn't have any cash. He doesn't have anything. And he can't pay the meal. And the homeless man gets with some of his friends, and they pool the bit of change that they have, and they come up with just enough to pay for this meal for this very well-to-do psychiatrist. It's embarrassing to Frasier, and yet it makes a very powerful point. And then the homeless man said this. He said to Frasier, "Christmas belongs to guys like us. The rest of the year belongs to rich people like you." Now, what does that tell us? It tells us that it's a clear demonstration of what the Christmas spirit is all about. It's all about giving, even giving what we don't have to give. It also reminds us that we never really give to poor people. We may give them a little change here or there, but actually they always give much more to us through that experience. That's exactly what happened in that episode, and it reminds us of the Christmas spirit. Now, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to the temple to be consecrated. And when they got there, they met this old man by the name of Simeon. And the scripture says that he stayed there day and night. Now, that seems a little bit fanatical, doesn't it? That he would be there all the time. Why was he so fanatic? Well, it's probably because he believed in what the prophet Isaiah said 700 years earlier. The prophet Isaiah said what is part of our call to worship. He said, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." Simeon knew that God was going to send a Messiah as a bright light, a bright hope, a new beginning for the Israelite people. And he was longing for that and waiting for that. Why did he stay at the temple night and day? he also understood what the prophet Malachi said. Malachi once said this, "Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant, the one whom you desire, he will surely come." So Simeon stayed at the temple because he was waiting for that prophecy to be fulfilled, which it was, and it was fulfilled in quite an amazing way. Simeon understood these prophecies. He knew that God was going to fulfill them. So when Simeon saw the baby Jesus, he knew exactly who he was. Now, most of the Jewish people expected for the Messiah to come as a conquering warrior, much like King David in the past. And yet, Jesus came as a simple, poor, humble child. No one expected the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to come in such a simple way. Now, Isaiah 55 tells us that God's ways are not our ways, which means that God brought Jesus into the world in an unusual way and then turned the world upside down and calls us as believers and followers to turn the world upside down as well by the ways in which we communicate his good news. We communicate it in ways that are almost unusual and bizarre, but very powerful. We're called to turn the other cheek. No one does that. But we're called to do that. We're called to love our enemies. No one does that, but we're called to do that. We're called to go the extra mile. Nobody likes to do that, but we're called to do that. And when we do those kinds of radical things, people see Jesus in us and they're actually drawn to Christ. When Simeon saw the baby Jesus, he reached out and took the child, he lifted the child up, and he proclaimed these words, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people, Israel." Simeon was full of the Christmas spirit, and he was able to communicate that not only to Joseph and Mary, but to all the people in the temple and beyond. Now, there was another person in the temple, a person probably much older. If you do the math, the way the scripture describes it, you can guess that she was probably about 12 or 13. This is Anna, the prophetess Anna. She was about 12 or 13 when she married her husband. And the scripture says that he died 7 years later, and she became a widow and then lived another 84 years. Now, in the NIV, it seems to indicate she was only 84, but if you look at it in the Greek, it can indicate 84 additional years. You add that together, you get somewhere between 103 and 104. Now, that was quite old in that day, and she was quite old. And yet, she was so excited when she saw the baby Jesus. She knew exactly, by the power of God in her, that was the Messiah. And what did she do? She went out into the streets and she began to proclaim and witness and tell everyone that the Messiah has come. A 103-year-old lady is out witnessing to people in the streets. She too was full of the Christmas spirit. Now, there's a clue in these two characters in this story, a clue that helps us to understand how we can maintain the Christmas spirit throughout the year. And the clue is simply this. They knew that Jesus was God. They knew that Jesus was the Messiah, God incarnate, living among us. Now, that is the most important and the most astounding information we can ever consider as Christians. God himself, the creator of the universe, came into our world, lived among us, put up with us, dealt with us, forgave us, loved us, helped us, served us, washed our feet. The God of creation did all of those things. It's mind-boggling. It's humbling. It's amazing. It helps us when we dwell on such a thought. It helps us to maintain the Christmas spirit every single day of the year. There was a poor little boy who experienced the Christmas spirit in a way that completely changed his life. Listen to what he wrote. It was the Christmas when I was about 7 years old that I remember the most. My aunt was a single mom struggling hard to survive during the holiday season. There were six of us children between my parents and my aunt, and we were all going on and on about Christmas presents. We were excited about what we would get. But my mom and my aunt told the six of us kids to wrap up presents from our own toys to give to each other because we didn't have enough money for new gifts. I picked the toys that I didn't really care for, and most of us did. It was more a thoughtless action than one we did out of care and love. In fact, I can remember a few of us older kids being annoyed by this cheap Christmas idea. Well, every time we would go to my cousin's house, I would beg my older cousin, Kevin, to let me play with his toys. He had wonderful, great toys, including a really neat veterinarian set that had its own scrubs. But he would always tell me to go away, that I could not play with it. I know that he valued that toy a lot. It was one of his favorite things. In fact, he was playing with it every single time I saw him, and boy, did I want that toy. Then Christmas came, and when it was time for me to open the gift that Kevin actually gave me, he had it wrapped in newspaper because we couldn't afford wrapping paper. And when I opened it, I found that he had given me his favorite toy, the veterinarian kit. I couldn't help but cry. Tears just flowed from my eyes, tears of excitement, tears of joy, tears of amazement. I couldn't believe he gave me his favorite toy. This was such a selfless gift. No one made him do it. He just thought it would make me happy. And it did. It really did. Kevin's gift was what and is what the Christmas spirit is all about. Giving ourselves up for others, sharing what is hard to share, loving those who are unlovable, and showing that Jesus is God, that He lives within us, and has changed our lives and can change their lives as well. So how do we maintain the Christmas spirit all year long? It's very simple. We sing like Riley. We proclaim like Simeon. We witness like Anna. And we give like Kevin. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.